I got to go buy new tennis shoes this week. I have to tell you that I may be 47 years old and I might have a mortgage and bills and adult responsibilities, but one of the greatest joys in my life is when I get to go get new tennis shoes. There is something childlike and amazing about a new pair of tennis shoes. Do you remember when you were a kid and you'd go get those new tennis shoes and you believed those new tennis shoes could make you run faster, jump higher? I still believe that. Now you should know, I'm pretty hard on shoes. My dress shoes tend to last longer because I don't wear them as often. I only wear them once or twice a week. But I wear my tennis shoes every day. And that's just my normal shoes that I wear. And I'm a pretty big guy, so I put a lot of pounding on them, right? And I wear those soles down, they get dirty. Right, they get torn up. I've had the tennis shoes where they've got the ventilation in the front so your big toe can peek out, right? The fancy shoes, yeah. I usually about 12 to 18 months are the distance I can give a good pair of tennis shoes. 24 if I just don't have time to go get them, but I have to at that point. So I got to walk in to buy a new pair of shoes this week, and I was so excited because I hated my old shoes. I had bought them about a year and a half ago, and I had accidentally gotten them wide rather than normal. I don't know why, but I asked for them wide. I think the problem is, I remember as a kid, when you would go to buy shoes, you went to a shoe store, right? A store that sold shoes. If they were fancy, they might have socks and boots, right? But they didn't, I mean, it wasn't like going to Walmart to get them or Target to get them, or even where I went to Dick's Sporting Goods to get them, right? They have 1,000 other things for sale, but when I went as a kid, it was just shoes. And you'd go in, and there was a person there that just sold shoes. And so they knew about the shoes, right? They knew which ones were the good ones. They knew what you wanted for this or for that. They knew sizes. They knew how to use that little, remember that little metal thing they'd have you put your foot on and they'd slide that thing down onto your toe, right? And it always hurt just a little bit. They did it kind of hard. But they were trying to see how big your foot actually was so they could get you the, so even though you were telling them they were 6, they were going, that's a 9 if I've ever seen it, right? You remember, they had that metallic thing and then they would go back. You wouldn't even go look at shoes, right? You would just tell them, I want a good pair of tennis shoes to wear every day. And they would disappear into the back, into that magic land, and they would come back out with 2 or 3 boxes, right? And they'd set them down, they'd get the laces ready for you, they'd have you stand up, they'd do that thing with their thumb where they hump for the end of your big toe, right? Remember that? And I never knew they're like, is that your toe? I'm like, yeah, okay. And then they would say, well, those are too short. You got to try a different. I don't know what it was they were feeling, but it was something that told them, get a different pair of shoes. And you'd walk out of the store, and you walked out, and you're like, these are good shoes. I'm glad I went to a professional. So I walk into Dick's Sporting Goods to get a new pair of shoes. I walk to the back. The shoes are in the back of the store. I walk back to the back, and there is a wall of shoes. All kinds of shoes. Running shoes, hiking shoes, basketball shoes, cross-trainer shoes. There are kids' shoes. There are women's shoes. There are shoes that look like boots. All kinds of shoes. I just want a pair of everyday tennis shoes. And I'm standing looking at this wall. And I remember that this is why I ended up with a pair of 13 wides. Because I was given far too many choices. I stand and look at this wall and the colors. Do you know you can own a pair of neon orange shoes? As my wife explained later, those are not a good everyday choice. Unless you're joining the circus, probably want to take those back. So I'm looking at all these shoes and I'm wondering, what am I going to do? Because I need a good pair of shoes. I hate my old shoes. Because I got them and they were wide, they feel like bathroom slippers now. Right? They're not, I need my shoe to hold on to my foot. Right? I never had any problems with my feet or knees until I turned 40 years old and the manufacturer warranty apparently ran out. Because at 40 years old, almost to the day, my knees went bad. A couple years ago, I broke a bone in my left foot on the outside of my foot playing volleyball. I didn't know I'd broken it. So 4 weeks later, I simply taped it up and went back to playing. And about a year after that, a podiatrist said, "Did you know you broke your foot?" And I said, "No." So it's important. I don't need bathroom slippers to walk around in. I need a good pair of shoes. A pair of shoes that's going to hold on to my foot. So as I scan this endless array of shoes designed for activities and sports that I am confident I will never compete in, this 19-year-old store employee walks past me, doesn't stop walking, keeps walking, but turns their head back to say, "Are you finding everything you need?" I wasn't sure how to respond, so I simply said, "I need shoes." To which he replied as he continued walking away, "We have those." So I begin digging through the racks of shoes. They don't have that magical back anymore, right? They're all out there on the floor, so I have to dig through them. So I'm looking for boxes that say 13 on them, that don't say 13W, because I don't want to make that mistake again. And I'm finding that some boxes have been put back in the wrong place, and I don't work there, so I don't care. I'm not going to do it for them. But I find a pair of black Asics. Now, I like Asics. I do own a pair of volleyball shoes that I only wear when I'm playing hardcore. And they're Asics, and they do really well for me. So I was like, okay, we like Asics. We will try this. So I take them out. And I put them on, and as soon as I slide my feet into them, my feet respond with a comforting, they fit perfect, right? I even do the thumb thing, hunting for my, I don't know what I'm looking for, but it's what you're supposed to do. So I poke the end of my thing until I feel my toe, right? These feel good. These feel like my feet feel better than they felt all day. I walked into the store like I could barely move my feet, and now I'm walking in the store going, "These are great. I like these a lot. I'm going to use these all the time. These are wonderful shoes." And the kid, the 19-year-old kid, circles. I guess I was on his route. He came back around, and he said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I want to buy these shoes." And he looked at me like I was too stupid to figure out how to enact that transaction. He said, "Well, take them up front." And I said, "I don't think I give you the money. I'm saying I want to wear them out of the store." He said, "Oh, that's not a problem." He said, "Just go up front." He goes, "Take the box, and they can do that for you." So I walk up front with my new shoes because they're feeling good, right? And I'm walking up to the front of the store, and I've got the box with my old shoes in them, which if they allow, I'm going to set on fire on the sidewalk out front because I am done with those old shoes, because my feet felt bad in those old shoes. They were worn down in those old shoes. But these new shoes, my feet have a brand new lease on life. And I go up front and I set the box down, and the guy opens the box and he says, "These are old shoes." And I'm amazed. I am amazed at the narrative ability of the employees in the store with me that day. And I said, "I know they're the old shoes. I want these that are on my feet." And he said, "Oh, that's no problem." So he scans the box and I pay for them. And he said, "Thank you very much." I said, "Just one more thing." And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "There's a security tag on it." And I'm not taking them off because they feel good. So he took the security tag off for me, and I walked out front, and the first thing I walked to was the little trash can they have there, and I stuffed my old shoes into it, and I walked to my car. I was so happy, I called my wife. "I just bought new shoes." To which she replied, "What are you, 8? I know it seems silly. I mean, they're just shoes. But I put a lot of wear and tear on my feet. My feet hurt. A lot of the times, my knees hurt, my back aches, I get tired and worn down because my shoes aren't doing their job, but I can fix it with one simple act: new shoes. New shoes breathe life into my aching dogs. They give me proper support. The broken bone quits hurting. The knees are less stressed. The back quits hurting. I feel better all over, rejuvenated. I literally have a new bounce in my step. New life given my feet spreads quickly. And there I am walking around on Monday. What can I get done today? Both of our scriptures today deal with rejuvenating new life. In the first one, Ezekiel is brought by God into a valley of dry, old bones. God says, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, and I will cause breath to enter into them, and they will live. The old dry bones are Israel. They're dead. They're done. They're no more. They have strayed too far from God. And their spirits have withered without that eternal spring of God's grace, without that eternal spring of God's love. Their bones have withered up. But God says, bring them the word of God. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. The people of God are feeling lost and hurt and dead. They have no life in them, but God comes to them and breathes new life into those old bones. He brings new life to the dead, and they rise up again on the word of God. In the second story, we have the story of Lazarus, where Ezekiel was having a vision, a dream of what God could do. In John, Lazarus is actually dead. Mary laments to Jesus, if you had been here, you could have healed him. But it's too late now. He's not kind of dead. He's not mostly dead. He's 4 days, it's starting to smell bad over there, dead. That's really dead. You know that smell they're talking about. You've smelled that before and you've gone, ooh, something's dead. Right? You haven't thought something's almost dead, it's something's dead. That dead is dead. And they say to Jesus, there's nothing you can do. He's already stinky dead. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out. His hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. We had a baptism class yesterday. Some of our kids and some of the kids from New Song Christian Church up in Liberty, we got together to talk about baptism and what baptism means. And as part of that conversation, we talked about death and resurrection. How when we decide to follow Jesus, we go through the act of baptism. It's being raised to new life, literally. When we're raised out of the water, that's a symbol of that. That we're leaving death behind and we're being raised to new life. But we also emphasize that the act of baptism is not a finish line. The act of baptism is a starting line. It's the beginning of a spiritual journey with Jesus. And yes, while it is the moment that we join in the resurrection with Jesus, it may not be the last time that happens. Too often we view our Christianity, our faith, as something that happened to us once, one day, when we became a Christian. But it is not a one-time occurrence. I was baptized when I was 12 years old. That's 35 years ago. I can tell you, looking back over those 35 years, I am still becoming a Christian. I still haven't gotten it right. Every day I wake up and there's a part of me that is still becoming the Christian God wants me to be. And because I've not gotten it yet, right yet, as I survey that journey of 35 years, I see those times when my bones became dry, Where even though I was put in the waters of baptism and filled with that new life, there have been times on that journey when my bones became dry. Where my spirit was low. Where my faith stumbled. Where my walk with God looked like more of a bedraggled crawl. Times where I was tired, worn out, hurt, desperate, seeking, parched for God's Spirit. Times where I had wandered from the path and I was simply lost. My tank was on empty. Make no mistake, I believe that God was always with me. Jesus was always beside me. The Spirit was always within me. But I had lost sight of that at different times on my journey, and I'd been worn down to a nub, and my faith was withering and becoming like those old dry bones. And as I look back at those times, I see something else that happened. In those times, as I felt dry and withered and dying and dead, something happened every time. Some moment where God's breath entered me anew. Where I was rejuvenated and renewed by God's Spirit upon me. Maybe it was through a sermon I heard or a lesson I was part of. Maybe it was a fellow traveler who saw my struggle and said, "Here, drink from my canteen for a minute." Maybe it was a stranger who came upon my dry bones and simply offered me hope in the Word of God. Whatever it was, time and again on my journey, when I had become dry and tired, God came again and filled me with new life, called me from my spiritual tomb. "Mark, come out." We all have those moments. Those moments of dry bones. When our faith falters, becomes dim, leaves us aching and wandering. Those moments when we feel distant and separated from God. Despite our faith, despite our baptism, we feel like the stone is already being rolled over the opening and we have been left for dead, wrapped in the cloth in the dark, simply laying there not knowing what to do. But Jesus comes again with new life. Again and again, Jesus calls us out from our self-imposed tombs again and again, offering new life and new breath and new hope and new grace. Maybe you're dry right now. Maybe you can feel that parched spirit withering in your body. Maybe you're simply going through the motions, right? I show up, I sit in my pew, I sing my hymns, I bow my head when there's prayer, I listen when there's a sermon, and then I go home and make lunch and go on. And yet even as I go through those steps, I can feel that dryness, that withering. Maybe you've been dry for a while. Maybe it's been so long that you can't quite remember what that new life felt like. What that new breath did when it entered you. The good news today is that for you right now, there is new life waiting. All it took for the dry bones in the valley was to hear the Word of God. All it took for Lazarus was to hear the voice of God. The good news is here. God gives us new life, rejuvenating new breath to fill our lives with. All we have to do is hear it. But will you listen? Who will be the one to speak the Word of God to you today? A friend, a family member, the person sitting next to you in the pew, the stranger you pass in the grocery store this afternoon? The Word of God is out there. It is seeking your ear. It wants to bring that flood of new life, that spirit-quenching presence of Jesus. Will you let it? Or have you settled into this dry existence far from God's Spirit? Have you relented? Have you given up? The stone's already been rolled across the entrance. There's nothing else that I can do. The choice is yours today. God's word is waiting. It is seeking out your ear. It wants to fill you with that new life, that new hope, that new breath. It is just waiting to rush in and fill you. So the question becomes, what will you do with those dry old bones?